Have a seat. Exactly. All right. Well, gosh, I'm going to have to really like blast through this pretty quickly. Today's already been pretty awesome, I think. Anybody think today's been pretty awesome? I want to begin with a word of prayer. I'm really, really looking forward to sharing the word of God to you guys today. We're continuing our series that we started last week entitled The Power of One. But let's pray and let's invite God's presence into this place. And I think God's going to do something really, really special in all of our lives this morning. So I'm super glad you guys are here. All right, can you bow your heads? Lord God, we thank you so much for today, an amazing and a beautiful day, God. Lord, we just look forward to what you have for us right now. I just pray, Lord, that you will help us prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us today. God, I know that this is something that's really on your heart. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will bless each one of us today with a true encounter with your presence. Let us leave here today having had that true encounter with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I mentioned, today's part two of this series that we started last week entitled The Power of One. And what we're doing in this series, this four-part series, is we're going through the Old Testament book of Judges. And we're examining four different people's lives, three of them were just really ordinary people. One of them, it's kind of difficult to describe them as being ordinary, but four people who literally changed the culture around them. And my hope is that this series will be encouraging and even inspiring to you, because I'm really having a lot of fun with it. It's really been a blessing to me. And it's also a great series for you to invite someone to come and check out, because really the premise of this is that no matter where you're at, no matter where your life is at right now, you should never underestimate the good that one person can do. You should never underestimate the good that one person can do who's filled with the Spirit of God and who is obedient to the will of God. That's the power of one. Recently, in the New York Times, they published a piece in their Metropolitan Diary section that I thought was pretty funny. At a movie theater in New York, there were a group of elderly women going up an escalator. They were going to the movies to see the movie Fences. And they were having a conversation on the escalator as they were going up. And one of the ladies, in a very frail voice, she just blurts out, "I sure hope I live until this summer." And her friend says, "Well, why is that? And is it because your granddaughter's getting married?" And the lady said, "No, it's because I want to see the Wonder Woman movie." There are fans, I mean, this is for real, there are fans of the Wonder Woman character who have waited 76 years, literally have waited 76 years to see the Wonder Woman character on the big screen. 7 decades. Over 7 decades, the Wonder Woman character has actually shaped the culture of our nation, has helped shape the culture of our nation as far as our culture's view of women and their ability to lead and to change the world. And so for many, the release of that movie this weekend was really, really important. Today we're going to focus on another woman who changed the culture around her. and her name was Deborah. But before we dig into Deborah's story, I want to really quickly look at the three big ideas that we covered last week, because these three ideas, these three things are what really what's driving this whole series of The Power of One. And I want you to see how these three things apply, bless you, how these three things apply in Deborah's life, but I also want you to think about how these three things can apply in your own life. So here's the three big ideas from last Sunday. The first big idea was this: God's solution to a problem is often a person. God's solution to a problem is often a person. You, turn to the person next to you and say, you. You are the solution to problems that are around you. You are the solution to problems that are around you now and problems that will be around you in the future. You are the solution, because God's solution to problems are often people. The second big idea is that God expects us to solve problems. He expects us to solve problems. Proverbs 3, verse 27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act." God's expectation is for you to solve problems, to solve the problems that exist around you. The third big idea is the true test of love is the willingness to help. The true test of love is the willingness to help. 1 John 3:18 shows us that actions speak louder than words. True love is an action. You know, some of you guys may remember the old DC Talk song, "Love is a Verb." Love is action. Love is not just words. Action speaks louder than words. Christian love, if you're taking notes, you'll want this one. Christian love always involves sacrifice and service. That's Christian love. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just say to you, "Gee, I really love you guys"? Aren't you glad that he didn't just say it, but that he actually showed his love for us by giving his life? He sacrificed his life for us, because Christian love always involves sacrifice and service. So those are the three big ideas from last week, and that drive this whole series. So now let's look at Deborah's story, which happens in Judges chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you can go to the book of Judges chapter 4. And right from the beginning, in verse 1, we're told the background. We're told the setting of what's going on in the nation at that time. In Israel, it's a dark time. It's a time where the people of the nation have walked away from God. They've turned their backs on God, and they've done their own thing. Everybody's doing their own thing at that time, and they fully embrace the ways of the world. So the nation becomes very dark and very evil at that time. And so they are overrun by another nation. They're conquered. This time they're conquered by a king named Jabin. And Jabin had a very powerful army who was led by a man named Sisera. And their army had, the Bible tells us, that their army had 900 iron chariots. And these iron chariots were like the tanks of modern warfare. They were the only nation that had them. So they were technologically superior. and they were powerful. And they ruled, Jabin and Sisera ruled over Israel for 20 years because of the might of their army. So we're introduced to Deborah in verse 4. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will,'" God says, "I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, 'If you go with me,'" to Deborah, "I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh. There he summoned the two tribes, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. We jump to verse 14. "Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?' So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot." So God's solution, this is what I want you guys to see today. God's solution to this problem was, again, a person. Israel's problem in this situation, their problem needed a wisdom solution. They needed a wisdom solution. Think about this. How would they overcome a professionally trained, massive army with superior technology, superior firepower? It would take wisdom to overcome their situation. So God called upon a person who had wisdom. He called upon a person who had wisdom. Deborah had wisdom. Deborah was a prophet. The prophetic gift and the gift of wisdom always go hand in hand. They always go together. The Bible tells us that Deborah was a prophet, and she was obviously wise because the nation came to her to settle their disputes. She held court under a tree and settled everyone's problems when they would come to her. That's wisdom, amen? And so she used those gifts. She used the prophetic gift. She used the wisdom gift every day to settle people's disputes. And gradually, God raised her up to be the de facto leader of the nation of Israel. But the key here is wisdom, because this is the problem that Israel had. So I want to give you guys three things, just three points, three things that I see in this story, especially regarding wisdom. Here's the first one. Here's the first part I want you guys to see. I can't stress this one enough. Wisdom determines the success of your life. Wisdom determines the success of your whole life. Proverbs 4, verse 7. I love this. It says, "The beginning of wisdom is this." So immediately you perk up. Okay, the beginning of wisdom is this. What is it? Get wisdom. I love it.
What's the beginning of wisdom? You need to get you some. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. There's no price too steep for wisdom, because wisdom determines the success of your whole life. There's a lot of different views on, you know, as far as wisdom and how we get it, and what part of our, what time in our life that we get it and all that. Doug Larson, he says that wisdom is a reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. True, right? But I don't think you actually have to wait till you're old to get wisdom. You can actually start when you're really, really young. There was a little boy named Patrick. He was 10 years old. He gives this sage wisdom about life. He said, never trust a dog to watch your food. That's wisdom. We have a dog, and trust me, we've experienced this. We know. Another kid, his name is Michael. He's 14. He says, when your dad is mad at you and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. He also said, never tell your mom her diet's not working. A girl named Kim, she was 9 years old. She said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. That's wisdom, right? Another kid, Randy, he's 9 years old. He said, stay away from prunes. Naomi, who's 15, she said, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Lauren, age 9, she said, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. And maybe my favorite one, this kid named Joel, he's 10 years old. He said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Wisdom. Wisdom determines the success of your life. God gave Deborah wisdom, and he gave her the perfect plan to solve the problem that Israel was facing against Sisera and his army. But that plan would involve another person, a key person, and his name was Barak. And this leads me to the second point that I want to show you. And wisdom determines the success of your life. But the second thing, and I think this is something that a lot of people miss, and that's leaders or mentors transfer wisdom through relationship. Leaders / mentors literally transfer wisdom through their relationship with you. There are so many people who either don't understand this, or they just choose to not use this, to not adhere to this. And they end up paying for it in the end. The concept here is really, really simple. There are only two ways to get wisdom. The first way is mistakes. I see a lot of nodding of heads. It's a foolproof way. Guaranteed way to get wisdom is make mistakes. The second and only other way to gain wisdom is through mentors. Two ways: make mistakes or come under the leadership of someone who can teach you and help you, who probably has already made the mistakes and is helping you, is able to help you by speaking into your life. Proverbs 13:20, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm." Hang out with fools and it's gonna hurt. Say amen or oh no. Hang out with stupid people, it's going to hurt. Hang out with wise people and you will become wise. There's a great example of this transfer of wisdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, the relationship of Moses and Joshua. And it's always interesting how there's like one scripture that just pops out that just is just so incredibly rich. And I want to show you guys this from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. It says this: "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because," it's always a key word, right? "Was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And because of that, the Israelites, the nation, listened to Joshua and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Walk with the wise and become wise. The wisdom determines the success of your life. Joshua was successful because he submitted himself to Moses' teaching and mentorship. Moses transferred wisdom into Joshua's life, and the result was the whole nation listened to Joshua. Leaders transfer wisdom through relationship. Can I ask you guys a hard question? Are you ready for a companion upgrade? Amen. Are you in need of a companion upgrade? Are you tired of always being the smartest person in the room? I mean, it's good for your ego, right? But the companion of fools suffers harm. Are you ready for an upgrade of who you hang out with? Walk with the wise and become wise. But there's a price. And the price is humility. You have to humble yourself. Instead of being the smartest person in the room, now you're not. But the reward is success. Did you know that Barak's name is listed in the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 because he humbled himself and came under the leadership of Deborah? I don't know a whole lot of men in the Bible who did that. But we're reading his name now because he humbled himself and he understood leaders transfer wisdom through relationship. That leads me to the last point. Number three, God chooses leaders by his standards, not ours. Right. God chooses leaders by his standards, not ours. Deborah is the only woman leader in the period of the judges, which is about 325 years of Israel's history. And it wasn't something that she campaigned for. She didn't run a campaign, you know, big signs everywhere. Deborah for king, Deborah for leader. People didn't come to her and go, Deborah, you're so smart, you're so amazing, you're so spiritual, you should be a leader, you should be the one. God chooses leaders. In the next chapter, when you read about Deborah's song after the victory, she didn't refer to herself as a leader. In her song, she refers to herself as a mom. She's the mom of the people. That was the way she viewed herself. God said she was the leader because God chooses leaders by his standards, not ours. The reality is that God may call you to lead something, or he may call you to support a leader. But the reality is that both are important. Neither one is more important than the other. Think about this story. Who was more important in this story, Deborah or Barak? Neither one. God specifically called both of them to this task. It required both of them to have this victory. So if God calls you to be a support for a leader, get excited. Get pumped up. You've been given an opportunity to get to be a part of something that God is actually doing. And if God calls you to lead something, get pumped up. Get excited. God has called you to be a part of something that he's doing. Neither one is more important than the other. Can we please not think of it the wrong way?
Right.
I'm not any different than you guys. You guys aren't any different than me. We all need each other to accomplish the plans and purposes of God on the earth and in this city. I want to close with, I was going to show a video, but we're having technological problems. One of my mentors over the years, actually for over 20 years, that someone that I've been really learning a lot from, I've read numerous books from this man, John Maxwell. I've been to many of his seminars, clinics. I've paid for online coaching. My life has benefited in so many ways from his teaching. And I got a video from him the other day where he was talking about a woman right now who would be considered a Wonder Woman. Her name is Gabby, and she's from the country of Paraguay. And a few years ago, Gabby came to the States, and she went to one of Maxwell's leadership seminars. And after the seminar, she came up to him, and she had her passport, and she asked him to write something in her passport. And he wrote the word transformation in her passport. She goes back home to Paraguay. She goes to her husband, and she says, I'm just feeling like I'm supposed to do something to help our country, especially because I've just learned all this stuff about leadership, and I feel like I'm supposed to be involved in the transformation of our nation. And I just need to be able to talk to the president of our country. And her husband was like, well, I mean, that sounds great, but you know, they were just regular people. They didn't know anybody important or anything like that. So for the next 2 years, they start trying to meet people, and then they get introduced to another person, and then they get introduced to another person. And over 2 years, they finally work their way through building relationships with people to where she was finally able to meet with the president of Paraguay. She goes in, she gives him one of John Maxwell's books. She explains what, you know, what she's thinking and how this could benefit the government and business and all this training on leadership. A little while later, the president of Paraguay contacts John Maxwell, invites him and his team to come to Paraguay to meet with him. So Maxwell goes, and Gabby gets to go. She gets to be there. And then they talk, and John Maxwell explains everything and gives his presentation or whatever. The president really likes it. Within the past two years, there have been over 200,000 people in Paraguay who have gone through the Maxwell Leadership Program. All the members of government, business, education, literally the whole nation of Paraguay has been transformed as far as teaching about leadership and how to effectively do things better. Literally the whole nation has benefited because of a woman named Gabby who decided she wanted to do something. She saw a problem and she had a solution and she blessed the nation. John Maxwell says, when there's one person with courage, they become the majority. Amen. That's the power of one. Will you guys bow your heads? Lord God, we just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. We're just really excited about wisdom and how it can help us. I just pray that you will seal your word in our hearts, Lord, that we wouldn't just walk away from today not thinking about the things that we've heard today. We just give you this time right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I want to give you the opportunity, first of all, if you're here and if you've not established a relationship with Jesus, you can do that today. As I mentioned earlier, we're so fortunate, we're so blessed that Jesus didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He gave his life voluntarily to benefit us. And because of that, we have the opportunity to have a real and vital and powerful relationship with God. Our sins can be forgiven. And we can look forward to eternal life with Him. But it's a choice that we all have to make individually. And if you're here today and you're ready to make that choice, you may not understand everything that's involved. I didn't understand everything that's involved when I made the decision. But it's a decision that we must make. And if you're here today and if you are ready to say yes, you're ready to say yes to the gift of eternal life from Jesus, all you have to do is raise your hand right now, and I'll lead you in a simple prayer of faith to begin your walk with Him. Is there anyone here who's wanting to make that decision today for the first time, or even if it's a time of rededicating your life? Amen. With every head bowed, I want to ask one more time, are you ready? Is there anyone here who's ready for a companion upgrade? And if that's you, would you just lift your hand as well? Because it's clear, when we walk with the wise, we become wise. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just lift up all those that are raising their hands right now. You know their situations. You know the difficulties that they're that may be in store for changing the people that they hang out with or whatever. Lord, I just pray you give them incredible wisdom. Give them courage. And Lord, I pray that you will direct their hearts. direct their lives to people who can impart wisdom into their lives. And I just ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, can we give God praise one more time? Yes.